It's very just true. Always nice when you have any type of G-spot vibrator it's like doing your G-spot and your clit at the same time, because then you do like a massive orgasm. A
little convulsion.
Yeah, like you're just like,
So we know what Megan sounds.
What kind of sound just came out
if
of my
Megan
mouth?
Sounds like that, I'm glad I don't hear it. Welcome back to another episode of Sorry Mom and Dad with your three favorite degenerates. It's Abby here with
Megan
and Jacqueline.
Megan, what is this TikTok you're all up about?
So like, yeah, I kept talking to them about this because this is mind-blowing to me. So, you know, everyone's been on this whole CARES Act getting government money, but right now they haven't even decided. They did decide on what's next or something. I have fucking no clue. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't either.
So unemployment, all that stuff, but people were not allowed to be evicted if they weren't paying rent, and that was going to go until August. So August came and basically everyone is fucking moving out of LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this TikTok and they were going down. I think they were living in Hollywood, West Hollywood, one of the like more popular places where a lot of people are located. And they showed the street and there was just like tons of moving trucks. And it was like 5 a.m. People were bouncing. And then the same thing, our neighbors who live next to us, they were moving out one day too. And then like when I walk my dog every day, I do see moving trucks like also. But I always thought that was normal because like there's always people coming in and out of LA. Mm-hmm. But I think there is definitely an increase because people have been stuck inside their apartments this whole time. And like, what do you pay for in LA? You pay for being outside, essentially. Like you're paying for the weather, you're paying for the beaches, the nightlife, the networking.
Networking.
Yeah. Oh. On sync. We're on sync on that one. But like when you take all that away, then you're just paying double the price for rent to live in a shittier, smaller apartment than you would anywhere else.
Sitting there like twiddling your thumbs.
Exactly. And like you're just like, dude, I'm working this job that's paying me like a decent amount, but it's not paying me a decent amount because 50% of my shit is going to rent or like groceries, just staying alive essentially. And so on that note, your girl's going back to Texas.
It's
a good thing that Megan never changed her license plate nor got a California ID.
I never
in the
did
first place,
it was like so. I never really planned to stay here. Just kidding. It was kind of interesting how this came to be, but basically, like, I had already been planning, I think I talked to you guys about trying to buy a house in Austin and stuff, but my plans did get accelerated just because my dad is, like, 80 years old, if you guys don't know that. Dude had me in his 50s.
Because you're the youngest child.
Don't fucking have kids in your 50s. You'll stress your kid out. They'll fucking grow up having this, like, very stressful lifestyle, feeling like they are pressured to grow up a lot faster. Like kids my age don't worry about I need to provide for my parents at their old age. Like they're still like their parents are like about to retire, about to go live their lives, and my parents are like, you know, they need to be cared for, which is not a bad thing. I like do want to spend time with my dad. It's been probably a year or so since I've seen him, and you know, like in Asian culture, it's like expected for you to take care of your parents when they get older. Almost,
my parents always said that. Like every time they saw old people, it's like, I hope you take care of me like that when I'm older.
And like their way of like trying to say something bad to you is like, oh, you're gonna be the child that puts me in a nursing home. Like that's the worst thing you can do as an Asian first generation immigrant child. The worst thing is to put your parents in a home.
That means you fucking hated them.
I know.
Yeah, no, that means if you live in a nursing home, you have a shameful children. You've not done your job as a parent. Like that's the worst thing that could happen to you. So like whenever I do tell, like, I guess like my parents have told their friends that I'm like moving back to help them out, and like they all like called me and they're like, such a good filial daughter. I'm like, such good child.
You're like, yes, that is me.
Bring honor to the family. It just happened that way where, like, I guess I had already kind of had the thought in my head, not to Dallas, because whenever people were like, are you going to go back to Dallas? I was like, fuck no. And here I am.
I know.
How the turntables.
Yes.
So It's kind of funny. It'll be interesting to see. I did a tarot card reading, kind of like as a question. I don't know. Look up how tarot card reading goes. I'm not going to explain that. But basically, one of the cards that came out was like about father figures and like reconnecting with this said father figure and how they've been like very absent and distant in your life and vast. That's kind of how our relationship is. Because, you know, like Asian dads, not every Asian dad's the same, but a lot of them are very like
distant,
quiet, distant. And they just like
my dad.
Mine
when,
too.
When I was a kid, my dad was super involved in my life. And it's like once I hit like teenage puberty years, he's like, what the fuck do I do with this thing?
He's like, deuces.
He was like, dude, what is this animal here in my house? This is not my daughter. So then that's kind of when we like got a little distance and then I became like, you know, a degenerate. Daddy issues and all. Not enough to be a stripper.
Oh, yeah.
But enough to be a piece of shit. Okay. So that was kind of interesting to see that tarot card reading. And my therapist kind of like did back up that whole thing, which like, that's good to end your karmic cycle with going back and reconnecting with your dad and healing some trauma. And I was like, wow, it's like the world is just calling me home. So that is my update, guys. We are still doing the podcast, of course. We're gonna, it's gonna just be a little different because I'm gonna be like FaceTiming in instead of being physically here. So
we'll put a little like screen grab
I'll
of you.
Ship you guys a cardboard cutout of
oh
me.
That would be good.
Don't worry,
we'll just set it up every time. And then when it's not, it's just standing there staring at me.
Yes, Jack will always have a friend in this apartment. Always.
Like, let's see what Megan feels about this.
How do you like my outfit, Megan? You like it?
Okay. On Jacqueline's streams, it'll be like, so we have a guest appearance again. It's Megan the cardboard cutout.
She's feeling a little quiet today. Don't mind her. She's thinking about a lot.
She's giving us the silent treatment today.
Cardboard cutout Megan will be here for you always.
In spirit.
In spirit. Only. In spirit only. But, just wanted to update you guys on that. But, you know, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do and be a filial daughter.
Good job. Good job. Round of applause.
Yeah. Of all the things that are happening in this quarantine 2020 period, I think there's other crazier things happening, right? Other than me leaving, moving home.
I mean, yeah, like, honestly, my body has been extremely through it this week. First of all, my back is in immense pain because when my boyfriend came over this week, he blew the fuck out of my back in the shower. And honestly, I can't even stress this enough, I am tired of shower sex. Like, because I'm in this one position where I'm like arched against the freaking
shower. It's not
shower
enjoyable.
Oh, and yeah. It fucking hurts. My back is
tiptoeing too, right?
Tiptoeing with my back arched, and then yeah, I have switched to where about. Like I'm a little lower and my hands are on like the edge of the tub.
Yes, water's running down your position. Face.
Like, it, at one point, sweat was dripping into my eye.
You're like, is that sweat
it was
or
fucking
water?
Burning.
Yeah, it's like, eyes. I gotta wash myself again.
And
damn
then
it.
When I'm in this one position, he accidentally, like, fucked me so hard that I hit my head against the shower wall. So then there was that. And I was just like, oh my God, I hope I
didn't
fucking
I
concussion.
Actually had the exact same story, too.
Really,
we were, like, fucking, and they're, like, by the wall. Uh-huh. And I'm on top. Yeah. And then it was, like, he was fucking me, and, you know, we're no birth control and all that fun stuff. So when he had to come,
she a risky
he
bitch.
Fucking launched me, and he launched me head first into that concrete.
Oh, my
and
God.
It hurt so bad.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, shit. He was, like, and he's, like, mid-coming, and he's, like, oh, my God, are you okay?
He's, like, are you okay?
All right, so both me and Jack may have a concussion right now from fucking.
Honestly,
so there's that.
Might need to go to the doctor together after this. Yeah.
Sounds fun. I got a new vibrator.
Oh yeah, how's that, Megan?
It's nice, but it's kind of like, cause so it's one of those things that are like U-shaped.
Oh yeah,
you know?
I saw the picture.
And you're supposed to be able to have sex with it. But the part that's supposed to touch your clit is kind of long. So I was like, I don't know where normal people's clits are.
You have
now.
To have a very, like,
extended.
That's why it's starting to make me question where my clitoris is compared to other people's.
Like, obviously, maybe a man designed that because She probably thinks like the clit is like 6 inches away from your pussy hole. It's literally the pee hole.
If you were to shove it all the way, like the U, the bottom of the U is touching your, like, I don't know, your, whatever you call that, your vaginal wall, then the top of it, where like the heavy vibration is, actually touches like the top of the hood, like where the fat is, you know.
Yeah.
So it actually goes over the clitoris. So you have to like. I was like, okay, but if I'm fucking with this, then of course it's gonna be all the way inserted with like, you know, with the pressure of the pee-pee.
So it goes past your clit, you're saying.
Yeah. So I guess I gotta try it out and then let you guys know. But as of right now, it's not good reviews for me. But like when I did, you know, use it, it was nice experience still. Just a little manipulation of the placement.
You gotta figure out the logistics of it.
It's just always nice when you have any type of G-spot vibrator, when it's like doing your G-spot and your clit at the same time, because then you do like a massive orgasm.
A little convulsion.
Yeah, like you're just like,
So we know what Megan sounds.
What kind of sound just came out of my mouth?
Sounds like that, I'm glad I don't hear it. Anyways, guys, Megan was having a laughing attack and ended up yanking the cord to her microphone. So, you know, things like that just happen here in SMAD Studios, aka Jacqueline's apartment.
She didn't plug it in again.
Did I pull the reminder, like flashback back to the episode, I don't know which one it is, but I recorded entire thing off of my iPhone microphone. Amazing. You guys didn't even notice.
But anyways, on another note of bodily pain, I went hiking yesterday. I thought it was gonna be an easy hike, but I didn't realize it was gonna be like 6 miles, because when we looked it up online, like it said it was only supposed to be 4 miles. Yeah, so it's like back and forth 6 miles.
Oh shit.
And it was so inclined to where
that's even worse.
I kept tripping on the way up.
Oh.
I tripped over rocks, like my ankles twisted.
Oh, did you slide coming down?
I slid a few times. My body is in immense pain right now. So when I got back from the hike yesterday, I knocked the fuck out. And then when I woke up, my body was like pulsing. I woke up this morning, my whole body was like in so much pain. I was limping like all day.
Oh my god.
So there's that, guys.
You're literally at point of exhaustion.
Yeah, I was real exhausted, and we had like a lack of water at the hike. So my boyfriend asked this one random Filipino couple if they had some water, and we got some water at the end.
Shout out to them.
Way to be prepared.
We had 64 ounces, but apparently that was not enough. And I didn't drink water before the hike either, so I think that was a problem.
Yeah, because you sweat it all out and you're fucking dehydrated.
Like, we were heaving because half of the hike was in a nice shaded forest. Mm. And then the other half of the hike was in the fucking heat.
Maybe for Christmas, I'll get you a Camelback.
Honestly, that sounds real nice.
And you did it in like fucking 95 degree weather.
It was fucking hot as shit. And then the end point where we're supposed to end the hike was supposed to be a nice waterfall, but it ended up being a very small waterfall.
It was a trickle.
I was like, this is anticlimactic. We hiked all the way for this bullshit.
Little drip.
But there was apparently a lot of people there just swimming in that little waterfall pool.
The puddle?
Yeah. I mean, it was a big like area, but the waterfall itself was just kind of small.
That reminds me of when I went on the Arizona trip, and we literally drove 8 hours to go see this waterfall, and we got there kind of late, so we were hiking in the mountains where nobody, like, people were looking at us weird, like, dude, why are you still here? The sun is going down. And we got to the waterfall, and it was so tiny. It was like non-existent. Like, there was a single trickle of water coming down. Yeah.
It's
and I was like,
out here.
Fuck!
Yeah, it sucks because you don't know what's at the end until you get there. And it's like, oh, so this is what I hiked for.
This is what I risked my life with. We actually saw a rattlesnake, too. And I was like, this is what I almost died for? Fuck you.
Yeah, on the last hike we went on, we saw hella snakes. And then on this one, we saw hella lizards.
Oh.
Lizards are fine. Snakes, hell no. When I saw that rattlesnake, I heard the rattle and I was like, I gotta go.
Whenever I went hiking in Austin, I got chased by a scorpion.
Oh, there's scorpions there?
Yeah, dude. I got chased by a scorpion.
That shit looks like...
I would actually cry. Scorpions are like one of my biggest fears.
That's so scary.
It was fucking terrifying.
One of my biggest... So when I was like in fifth grade, I actually went to this camp. Like, it was like every fifth grade you go to this camp. Mm-hmm. And there was like these tiny scorpions that were running around because it was like cabins and shit. And I just remember that being like terrifying because I watched this like nature documentary, Animal Planet shit, where like someone reenacted putting their foot into a sandal and getting stung by a scorpion because it was in their shoe. And I was like,
that's a no.
No. So now every time I put on like closed toe sandals, I'm so shaking.
That's me with spiders because I saw like a video of like a guy putting his foot in like a sneaker and there was a spider in there.
Oh my god!
And they bit him and I was like, okay. I like shake my shoes.
We're changing subjects. It's making me cringe.
Not
so
a
bad.
Fan of bugs and insects.
This is why I wear slides and only slides.
Oh yeah, something that happened that was coincidental is that my boyfriend got into a car accident. It's pretty bad. And then Jacqueline saw a car accident.
Oh yeah, the one
it wasn't
I saw
the same, right?
Was I was not a witness for you. But this one, it was so funny. I was walking back from
That's fucked up.
No, it was just crazy because I literally imagined it before it happened. It was this guy zooming on his like bird scooters.
You manifested.
And then
it.
I remember I was like walking back to my work and there's like a driveway that's like one of those driveways where it has those circle mirrors because it's kind of hard to see like if there's pedestrians.
Yeah.
And that one I just always knew like someone was gonna get hit there. And this guy zooms by me as I'm walking by. And I'm like, that guy's going really fast. He better watch out. Like, what if I accidentally stepped one way? He would have hit me. And right as I'm thinking that, some car pulled out of the driveway and he hit it like super hard, dented the car, flipped over.
Oh my God.
And then fell on the floor. And it was all right in front of me as I was thinking about, oh,
and he was on the sidewalk, right? So
yeah,
it's his fault.
He was on the sidewalk too. And then I'm like, oh man, it sucks for that guy, whoever hit him. And the guy comes out and is my coworker.
Oh my God.
And then he comes out and then he just makes eye contact with me and I'm like, bro, that sucks, man. I gotta go back to work.
Yeah, but it's like, but you're technically not allowed to ride those scooters on the sidewalk.
Yeah,
so.
He was like, I think my coworker was saying to him, like, why are you on the sidewalk, blah, blah, blah. But then the guy was yelling back and he's like, why are you, like, do you not check where you go, blah, 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 and all that stuff. Because I guess they're both kind of wrong. He did come out a little bit fast, but at the same time, it is like that thing is not supposed to be on
the
sidewalk.
Yeah, they tell you, like, that's one of the rules.
Yeah, because it's like, they're going way too fast that they can't see
they
you.
Go like 30 miles an hour.
Dude, he was going super fast too.
Yeah.
I
miss
and I was
driving
just like,
on those
damn.
but
yeah, that was crazy. Didn't think I was gonna see that. And also on top of work, I worked a shit ton this week, and I got to experience what it was like at a sweatshop because I worked in 95 degree weather. On
somebody
the
called
floor.
The union.
I know.
Somebody called the labor union.
The
right
workers.
Now.
But yeah, I was on the 9th floor, so all the heat rose. There was no air conditioning, and it was broken. So I was like, wow, this is what it feels like. I understand
now. If anyone's hiring for their job, Jack needs a new one.
Yeah, honestly, I'm so tired of my job. But yeah, that was another thing. I just worked a shit ton of this week, and I was so fucking tired. And now here I am. I have, like, barely slept at all, and I've been streaming nonstop. And yeah, I just... 2020 has been really shitty, guys. It's, I think we can all agree on that.
I agree completely.
Also, my skin looks amazing.
Oh, really, Megan? Why?
That's because I've been using these products. They are all natural, cruelty-free, plant-based. It's got CBD and probiotics.
Amazing.
So it's balancing the bacteria, the flora on my skin. If you guys don't know, there is actually bacteria all over your skin. But it's balancing all that, and it's all natural, so I don't have like harsh chemicals drying out my skin, because for a while I had super sensitive skin. So for anyone that wants to use the best of this quarantine time and fix your skin, you can go to kovoessentials.com. That's K-O-V-O essentials. I'm not going to spell that out for you because you should know how that's spelled. kovoessentials.com and use the code SMAD30. That's SMAD30. And get 30% off your order.
So we're all guilty bitches here. I think we can all proudly say that we have been jealous ass motherfuckers at one point. Because that is just the trait that, you know, just happens to come out when you've been cheated on many times in the past.
Many times.
The insecurities start flowing out.
So we let those insecurities flourish and it leads straight into being jealous of our current partners right now at some point in our relationship. But... is jealousy normal, guys? would you say?
Very normal.
I think it's normal, and I think honestly, personally, I think it could be healthy to an extent.
Yeah, it shows that you care.
There's two kinds of like extremes, right? You have people that we've experienced dating. You have the side that they're jealous about everything, mm-hmm. everybody that you talk to, everybody that you fucking look at, and they're just so mm-hmm. jealous. At first it started and you're like, oh, that's kind of cute. Yeah. Like, he's a little jealous. Like, he like believes like I'm his, mm-hmm. right? And then you have the other side where you're like, dude, do you not give a shit what I do? Like, do you even love me? Like, I'm literally staring at this man.
I'm about to suck this guy's dick. Do you even care?
Do you even care that my mouth is right on his dick right now? Do you even care?
Okay, wait, I have a question for you guys. Are y'all's boyfriends at all jealous of anything that you do, say, or whatever?
You're talking about right now or ever?
Just like talk about maybe since the beginning of your relationship, the like how you observe if he's ever displayed any jealousy, you know?
I think with my current boyfriend, like he, because he's never been in a serious relationship, mm-hmm. he's never experienced getting like cheated on or like lied to. He's never had that sense of betrayal. So he's never felt that kind of insecurity of like, I might do something to hurt him. And so doesn't have that like trauma carried with him. So when we first started dating, it was kind of one of those things. I was like, do you even care? Like, I would say certain things like, oh, haha, like comment on like OnlyFans. I'm like, oh, I'm going to start one or, mm-hmm. you know, and he's like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, totally. Fine. Why not?
Go ahead.
But then there are like, I think throughout getting closer as we became like better as a couple, it's not that he got more jealous, but I think he valued the relationship more to a point where he was like, oh, I don't know about OnlyFans. Like,
he kind of just wants to claim you a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did, when we were talking about, like, I think sometimes I'd be talking about, like, other guys or something. I was like, so do you want me to, like, you want other guys to, like, hit on me or something? He's like, no. Like, it was, like, simple questions. But, like, his answers now versus how they were in the beginning of a relationship when mm-hmm. he didn't really... I guess it wasn't, I feel like it takes longer for guys to really like get in tune with their emotions and realize like, oh, I love this person mm-hmm. and I care about them and I don't want other guys fucking them.
Yeah. Because I think it starts like that in the beginning of the relationship a lot. Because even me or you, like, you didn't care as much, like, in the beginning. But then once you're, like, together, you're like, okay, I actually give a shit about, like, where you mm-hmm. are and what's going on.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I feel like mine kind of developed kind of weird because I had the insecurities, but I always in the beginning of a relationship I'm like, oh, I can't come off as crazy, I gotta be cool. That's it, yeah we talk about
we gotta
this
be
all
the cool chill girl, go with the flow,
but they can see the crazy later on.
Yeah but deep down you're just like, what the fuck?
No, that's exactly how I was, because when me and my current boyfriend mm-hmm. when we were talking back then, you know, I'd be like, yeah, that's cool, like, I don't care if you don't text me for like 2 days,
no worries.
I'm not like twitching inside and kind of like freaking the fuck out a little bit, my eyes like twitching, but but then when, you know, you finally get serious and all that, it's like you're mine,
you
now,
unleash the beast.
Bitch,
the second he was mine. Like, Abby, be my girlfriend, you're like, excuse me, where you at, where you
at? Checks on find my friend's
day,
location
on like, time, where the fuck were you?
No, because I literally had a phase, I think in the beginning we started getting really serious uh-huh. because I was like, oh god, I'm getting into this again, like mm-hmm. I'm just scared that, like, you know, he's gonna pull something, all this and all mm-hmm. that. Then you just realize that they don't have any bad intentions. Yeah. You're just freaking out for no reason, because every time he'd say, hey, I'm gonna be right back, mm-hmm. I'm gonna do this, do that, I'd check his like location and I'd be like, is he actually there, when is he home?
And then he's actually there and you're like, oh,
so how was it when you mm-hmm. first, like, how did you approach like following each other's locations? Because I know with some couples, like, that's like a no-go, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have that. I don't know, I just, we never talked about it, and I'm like, I want to do my own thing, and I feel like if I had it, then I would check it all the time. So we just never talked about it.
Well,
that.
For me, it's because he would come over to my place so often when we just first started talking, and he would send me like a Waze notification ETA. Telling me like it shows when he's going to be at my place. Mm. And I was like, you know, this is so stupid. Like, why can't we just share locations so that we know where we each other are? So I sent him my location first when I was on my way to his place one time, because mm-hmm. he was like, just let me know when you're going to get here.
But you shared it indefinitely?
I shared it indefinitely.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that was like about 3 months into us talking. And
damn, that was fast. That was fast with me.
So I gave it to him, and then ever since, like, we started sharing locations, I was like, damn, this is serious. We trust each other. There is trust.
That's kind of weird because we share our locations with fucking, like, strangers, right? Like, not strangers, but, like, friends that we aren't even that close to. But when it comes to someone that we're dating, we're like, should I ask? Like, is that weird? Is that crazy?
I just straight up gave it to him. I was like, because I wanted him to also trust me, because I wanted it to be like, oh, you know, I'm not pulling anything suspicious and you'll know where I am. I'm just gonna be home literally all the time. So
you wouldn't have done that with the guy you're previously talking to, though.
Exactly. Never would have,
because you was hoeing him.
Actually, with Mr. Fuckboy, we shared locations at one point. He unshared it with me like in March.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, mine was like a question, like, because I had never done that with any boyfriends in the past, even the one I dated for like a year and a half, who I realized why he wouldn't have done that, because he was an unfaithful motherfucker. Anyways, but I remember, because when he got his like new phone here, I was showing him like the, because he's never had an iPhone, because it's not that popular in Europe or wherever, overseas, like in Poland. So I was like, oh, well, you can like track locations and stuff. And I was joking, I was like, ha ha ha, I'm gonna follow your locations. He's like, okay. And I was like, no, really? And wait, I was like, seriously? You know when you bring up something as a joke and you're like, ah, like, like, that, what do you think about that? Yeah, that, like, oh yeah, yeah, that's so funny, haha, you can follow your location, right? Yeah, haha, that's funny. And then he's like, yeah. Oh, okay.
I mean, like, he was only at her apartment anyways. He would always be at our apartment. Yeah, anyways, so.
I mean, but the thing is, like, when I'm like, that was when before quarantine, when I would still go to work or like something like that. And I don't really check it that often now, but sometimes if I'm like throughout the day, like we've been talking less and less. So I'm sometimes I'll be like, oh, I haven't talked to him in like 8 hours. Check where he is. It's always at home.
It's funny because sometimes when I check my boyfriend's location, it's just either work or home. So I'm just like, why do I even have this? I don't even need to check it since he's only at two places.
It's just like a comforting, like, what a good boyfriend he is.
I know, right? It's a nice assurance.
Well, either way, I feel like even some shady guys would still lie about it too. There's some where couples I know, they share the locations and then they would just turn it off every time they went to go hang with somebody. And I'm like, as the girlfriend, wouldn't you just know that shit's not loading anymore? Like, listen, doesn't that mean he turned it off?
Every time I get into an argument with my boyfriend, I just turn off my location.
I've done that a couple times. I turned my shit off.
I turn mine off to hide from my parents.
Oh, makes sense.
Because they force me, they're like, if you live away from us, you have to have Find My Friend.
Oh.
And I'm like, seriously? Every single time I step one foot out of my apartment, they're like, where are you going? I'm like, seriously?
Your parents tracking? Terrifying.
My parents tried to track me in college, but I found ways to just get around it. And then my mom gave up and I deleted the app.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you track them at one point, they're just going to get around it. My sister had a whole like scenario where she literally had left her iPad with me.
Yeah, that's my sister did too.
And then used that location and it was like in Orange County somewhere.
You'll never be one step ahead of your child. I'll just fucking warn you that now.
And we are the ones who learn technology more than you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the fact that my parents never fucking bothered that, they don't even think they know that technology exists where they could track you. No, I don't. But I don't think, like, it's not that they don't care enough to, but they know that they already know I would fucking find a way around it or just turn my shit off. They just know I'm not the kind of bitch to like be like, yeah, follow my location. No.
It's funny because my parents can't really threaten me with anything now because I was cut off since I moved the fuck out. Mm-hmm. So like anything they ask for, I'm just like, what are you gonna do if I don't do it?
I'm gonna get 10 tattoos just to say fuck you.
There are two types of children.
But anyways, guys, how do we prevent ourselves from getting too far with jealousy, do you think?
Yeah.
It's hard because, you know, when you've put yourself through all this trauma in the past and you can't really trust anyone, you're gonna have to like relearn that trust with your partner again.
You kind of have to like drop that emotional baggage at the door when you start a new one, because if you translate that all over to the next person, like, you're projecting all your insecurities onto them when they didn't even do anything to you yet, you know? And then you're gonna strain your relationship through that. So it's best to, you know, leave it at the door and try to, you know, kind of be honest about your jealousy and all that
it
stuff.
It sucks
too,
because it's easier said than done.
Totally.
We know. Because we know everyone's emotional baggage is like pretty different. What is it? I've been cheating on like what, 5 times? And then the fifth time I just recently found out.
And to even go further back, though, a lot of this like jealousy, insecurity also stems from your childhood. Yeah. Of like, they talk about your attachments, when you develop your attachment to your parents and how they responded to your times of need. It really affects like how you attach to people in the future and how your relationships form. Yeah. So I think for a lot of, especially Asian kids, where their parents were more so a little bit more absent maybe, or like not emotionally like available, it's hard for like us to really develop trusting, secure relationships in
and
the future.
And being more communicative too. Yeah. Because it's like you learn to just keep everything inside. And also jealousy is another thing, like you have to, like, don't deny it if you're jealous. Like, just admit it. That way it's easier for you to, like, deal with it. Because you keep being in denial. You're like, I'm not jealous. That girl doesn't bother me. That guy doesn't bother me. But deep down, you know it does. Like, you're just going to keep burying it. And it's going to get worse in the end.
Exactly.
I think it's good to talk about your insecurities with your partner. Because they're never going to know how to assure you that everything's fine
they
and dandy.
They cannot read your mind. As much as you think that they can, or that it's so obvious, like sometimes I'm like, how do you not see that I'm thinking this way? And they just like, in a, especially for girls, like guys don't have that emotional intelligence. Like they really don't. And and for us, it's like when we talk to our girlfriends, we're like, oh my god, how does he not like see that? How does he not realize that? They're like, red flag, red flag.
But in reality, we are the red flags because we can't fucking talk about
it. Because we're like, we're so quick to be like, oh my god, no, he's so red flags, he's so wrong for you. But sometimes in a, when you're really serious about a relationship, it just takes some training, some teaching, some educating. And still you don't know what they're thinking either. I mean, they might completely be like, our relationship is fucking perfect, and you're in your head like, oh my god, he's so fucking horrible, like this relationship is going down the shitter.
Let me give you guys an example of like peak jealousy and high insecurity issues. I think I told you guys about when my boyfriend's ex-girlfriend called him at like 11:30 p.m. and I flipped shit, and I
flipped with you.
I did not take the time to realize that it really wasn't his fault because he was asleep and didn't ask for that call.
He woke
and
up with anger.
I was more mad at him than I was at the
bitch. He woke up so confused, like
he was like
so
disoriented.
Like seriously, imagine waking up from a nap and your girlfriend's yelling at you and your ex-girlfriend's calling you and you're just, what the fuck is going on?
Well, I freaked the fuck out. And I was being very irrational because I let my insecurities get the best of me, and I didn't take the time to ask why the fuck she called, first of all. And she, I will blame the girl in this scenario. I just was very confused because she didn't give a straight answer, calling my boyfriend twice. I'm like, honestly, one time could be mistaken as a booty call, but if you call twice
is not a mistake. Something.
I know.
And Abby was texting me during that time, and I was like, oh, and I pulled up her boyfriend's Instagram DMs, and I was like, hey, just so you know, your girlfriend's calling her ex-boyfriend at 11:30 p.m. And then I was like, I screenshot. I was like, Abby, let me know when to send. I'll do it. I swear to God, I'll do it.
I was like ready to go, lock and loaded.
I will fucking stir the pot.
I was just so angry that night, and I had a few trust issues after that, but I realized it's not his fault, and he was telling me everything. He was trying to assure me that he didn't have anything to do with that. He was just trying to peacefully sleep and didn't ask for his ex-girlfriend to call him.
Poor boy.
And I felt really bad because I yelled at him, and I was just like, oh, I'm really sorry for yelling at you for something that really wasn't your fault. But then, to assure me, he unfollowed her on social media, but you didn't even have to tell me that. I saw it for myself.
Oh,
you know,
because Abby's the creep. FBI. She's like, so even though Instagram took away the feature where you can see people's activity, she still knows your activity.
I know everyone's activity.
She programmed her own tab.
She's fucking found a loophole.
I'm gonna make a whole program on how to be the best FBI stalker you can be.
Jesus, like I said, do a webinar.
Charge
for your course.
Your own like little consulting company.
Speaking about webinars, webinars, have you seen an increase amount of these fucking courses and webinars of like how to do marketing, how to build your brand, how to do e-commerce? It's like everywhere, like all these people are like, during quarantine, did you want to take a course? This is the best thing to spend your time doing. It's only $1,299 for five books.
It's best to capitalize off of people's boredom in this quarantine
Not saying that like it's a bad idea to educate yourself and learn some new skills and develop some multiple streams of income, but the fact is that like these courses are fucking expensive.
You can self-teach yourself off YouTube.
All
videos,
this shit is online. I promise you, it's just you are accessing like a direct, and do they do provide personal support? So for people who are less resourceful and like not willing to go find out this own information, it's maybe a better deal for them to just get it all in one place. But I mean, when people are charging like $800 for their fucking, like, I'm like, that is not proprietary information. It's fucking online. Okay,
I need to see results after I'm like, I take your course. Yeah, like, I'm honestly, like,
why are you even doing this course? Probably because your e-commerce is sucking right now. You need another source of income.
Anyways, back onto the topic of being jealous ass bitch.
I'm low key jealous of them getting $800 to talk on a
Megan
video.
Said, "I'm gonna start my own fucking webinar." Fuck you guys.
Anyways,
So basically ask what the jealousy is telling you, because if you're feeling jealous because your partner broke your trust, it's the breach of trust that's the real problem. If you're projecting your insecurities onto your partner, it's your insecurities that need attention. And if you're jealous of your partner's success, perhaps there's an unhealthy element of competition that needs to be eliminated. So you kind of need to find like the source of where the jealousy is coming from.
I think at the end of the day, I do find it weird to be jealous of your partner's success in a way. Like,
I've heard of some of those too.
I know that for guys, it's a little harder because they have that like whole ego thing where they feel like they need to be their provider. So what happens when the woman is, you know, we're in the day and age where women are just as successful as men now, right? Or more, like in many cases, because we're like very good at multitasking. We're powerful ass bitches. Sorry, I'm biased, but that's the truth. But like, what happens when a guy feels like he's not enough?
Well, I do have an answer for that because, you know, my boyfriend's in that position right now where I'm making a lot more than him.
Same.
And Megan, you can relate to, and Jack, you can relate to. Yeah, we're all making more than our boyfriends, you know. But then you have to think about it sometimes. It's like, sometimes it doesn't really matter because sometimes, well, I can say it's my personal choice to want to be able to spend my money on
like
him
we
too.
We know we knew what we were getting into before the relationship,
and it's like you should know that's not a problem. And if the guy has an issue with it and he's highly jealous of your success, and that's on him, that's not on you. You're out there getting your fucking bag. And what my boyfriend tells me is that, you know, his plan is to get into physical therapy school, make the money after that, and I don't mind spending a little bit more than him when it comes to our relationship. So
it's kind of an investment, like I said before.
I think me and Abby always talk about, but the fact is, like, men feel like they need to provide, like they need to be the main money bringer of the family. But for us, it's like right now we just are set up for, like, she's dating someone who's still going to school, so of course he's not making as much money, but the fact is she's like, I'm investing my time and money now so that I don't have to work no more later.
It's funny because I told him, I was like, hey, how would you feel if I was just like, you know, just like a housewife, you know, just like not doing much? He's like, I kind of would want you to still have a job.
I think you would still find your own thing to do, not necessarily a 9-to-5, but like you'd have more freedom to like do what you want to do. And that's kind of what I told him. I was like, I would even pay. I was like, I told him, I was like, especially because it's harder for him coming from another country, like he has a lot to learn and like really adapt, find his own path. And I'm like, I'm in it all the way. Like, I'm committed to this relationship enough to where I'm okay if you want to like go to class, I'll help you pay for it. If you want to do this and that, I'll help you find out how to get there, right? But I'm like, but it's an investment because I see, like, I'm dating you because I don't see you as some lazy piece of shit that's going to leech off of my money for the rest of my life. But I see you as someone who is willing to work hard. I think there's a pro and con to when a guy feels like they need to provide is a con being that sometimes it could get a little competitive and they could kind of, their like ego could get in the way of like kind of almost putting you down, right? Mm-hmm. Of like being angry or upset or like just full out frustrated all the time, and it's bringing negativity into the relationship. Yeah. But at the same time, if they have that drive to do better, that's a good sign that they want to be better and not just like a piece of shit sitting on the couch drinking beer and
little couch potato.
Yeah, like I think there's a pro and con. Like obviously you don't want an extreme of either side where they're just like angry all the time, but you also don't want a lazy ass. But I think that's in general for a good thing for guys to know is that like women aren't dumb. Mm-hmm. We date people, and people always make fun of like girls dating broke dudes, and we always laugh about us dating broke dudes, but like the fact is that if I deemed you as a lazy person, I wouldn't be with you. Well, I can't say about my past lives, but
I'm talking about the now.
No, we're talking about now. We're the people in the future with the serious relationships are lying. But in terms of that, like, we're smart enough to really know what we're doing. And for guys, just to remember to check yourself. Like, your girlfriend doesn't deserve to be berated for doing a good job. She does not deserve. She's a
cheerleader.
Yeah. Be a supportive person. Mm-hmm. And, like, at the end of the day, I always use this example as, like, my oldest brother, who's, like, doing very well. When he was in college, his girlfriend at the time, his wife now, paid for him to go to school and like supported him, and now she a stay-at-home wife. She don't gonna work no more.
You see, the goal. Like, jealousy doesn't have to just be another person. It could also stem from you know, someone's success, money, status,
where you are at in life.
Exactly. But if anything, you should always be supportive of your partner no matter what.
Once you realize that you're getting jealous, maybe like check yourself and wonder why, because it's not healthy for the relationship.
Yeah, that's why you should list your insecurities, and that would really help out with not being jealous anymore. And learn to cultivate more self-confidence, because you don't want to feel like you're living in the shadow of anyone else, especially maybe like your partner's ex.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
When you look at old pictures,
people compare themselves.
Thankfully, don't Megan knows I'm fucking guilty.
Yeah, she is. She sends me. I'm like, why? She's like, what, Megan? I did something bad. She's like, I did it, and I hate myself for it. I'm like, what did you do this time? And she's like, I went through his ex's photos, and she looks amazing. I was like, she just is just like a regular girl. Like,
no, but you have to think about, like, he's not with her anymore. He's with you. So it's like, that's exactly what you need to focus on.
It sucks trying not to compare yourself to like your partner's ex-girlfriends, because you're just like, what if they like this thing about her more than what they like about me? What if like her family like, what if his family liked her more than me? What if this, what if that? And you just start going in your head comparing yourself for hours.
Self-doubt.
Because I did that at one point, and I collapsed myself. You could
really dig yourself into a very deep hole position.
It sucks. It sucks because I am a self-deprecating person.
Yeah, I think we all are.
An emotional masochist.
Thankfully,
that's a humor as well.
Thankfully, I don't have to deal with any exes with my boyfriend.
Lucky.
But I mean, he's been with other girls, and he just like doesn't tell me about them, and I'm like, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, same here. I don't know anything about my boyfriend's ex either, and I'm like, don't need to know about it. It's fine.
Like, I don't care to look it up. But I do remember when I was first like interested in him, when we first started, like, I did look into like girls he was in pictures with or would comment on his pictures,
because I did that.
He's a fine ass dude, so like, of course, girls are like on him about like, you know, whatever. So I'd look in the comments, and the girls be like, oh my god, fire sign. I'm like, who's this bitch? And I think one time I asked him who was that. He's like, that's my English teacher from Poland.
Or, you know, sometimes they're like, that's my cousin.
Oh, fuck. So I think at the end of the day, when you start building more trust in your relationships, it starts making you feel less insecure, because you get to know the person and you start realizing like they're not here to do harm.
You know, it's really funny is that when you brought that up earlier today, I was getting my boyfriend's phone for him off the table, and I see he was getting like Instagram notifications for likes, and it's from these bitches. And I was just like, so who's this girl and who's that girl? He's like, that girl's, one girl's my cousin, the other girl's my friend from high school, they're both ugly. And I was like,
like, oh my god, they're watching them listen to this podcast and never talk to them again.
They're like, I'm the cousin.
I was like, oh, okay.
Well, just totally.
Well, you know, he really reassured you there.
Yeah, if your girlfriend's on your dick about some girls, just say they're ugly.
Yeah, honestly, I just left it. I was just like, oh, okay.
That's fine. Okay. Oh my
God. That was a joke, though.
I think one thing about insecurities is always comparing yourself to others. And I think in this day and age when social media is such a popular thing, like, that's so easy to do. Mm-hmm. You're seeing, like, influencers or, like, celebrities. Just remember, they're posting the highlights of their lives. If you look at your own Instagram or your social media, you'll see that, like, you're only posting, like, the good stuff you do.
Like, do you post the picture of when you accidentally, like, freaking sharded in a Wendy's? I don't think so.
Does that happen to you?
That's on my Finsta. If you look at my Finsta, you'll feel very good about yourself. That's a fact.
Yeah, like, no one's posting about the bad shits, only the good shit. So it's like, even if, like, it's just that they're posting hot pictures, like, don't worry about that and don't, like, compare yourself to that, because it's just like a highlight reel of everyone's life. Yeah. You know,
like, Jack has all these hot ass pictures on her Instagram, but at the end of the day she still thinks she's a piece of shit.
I know, I'm like, guys, I'm a fucking egg.
See, me and Megan know the non-Instagram side of Jack.
Like, yeah.
it's so wildly different. So whenever you see these pictures, they're like, it's like two different people.
I know, it's so funny because everyone looks at my Insta and thinks I'm like super, like, outgoing and, like, out there and, like, super, like, sex kitten thing.
Yeah.
But in real life, I'm sitting there, like, and I'm like, ew, put your dick away.
Ew, it's funny because when I see Jack in her costumes, I'm like, Jack, what are you doing today? She's just like, doing the fucking YouTube video.
She's like, not happy.
She's like, oh my god, I have a fucking stream right now.
That's like when I was doing, like, my TikToks and stuff, I was like, I fucking have to do this shit because I'm
and this TikTok, she's so happy, and then I'm just listening to Megan yelling, I fucking hate this.
Literally instant code switch. I record my YouTube videos like, hey guys, welcome back to my channel, and right when I'm done, I'm like, oh fuck this.
Send your bloopers here, and you'd be like, hey, like, I'm like, fucking shit, I sound like shit.
Fuck, why do I sound like this? Fucking cut my voice cord.
You're looking at someone's Instagram as, like, here's all the things that I've accomplished. Mm-hmm, but, like, they're not talking about their failures. They might put that in their caption, like, oh, like, I've gotten a lot to do this. But at the end of the thing, they're talking about something positive. Like, I went through all these failures, but I succeeded, da da da. But it doesn't
uplifted them in the end.
Exactly. So, like, they're like, oh, I graduated, I'm a RN, or, like, I'm a doctor or something. And you're like, fuck, like, me, I think, especially for people that, like, move to LA to try to pursue a new life or, like, something like that, you're, like, almost at the point where you're starting over, where a lot of your friends are in careers and set, and, like, especially in Texas, they're, like, making, like, money and they're, like, able to travel and stuff, but, like, their dollar goes a lot longer than ours, right? So, but then you have to think about people who are looking at us, who made the move, who got out of their town, who, like, are living their life up, and people are looking at my Instagram probably being like, oh, she's, like, having the time of her life, and I'm like, I'm depressed as fuck.
Dude, that's, I feel that, because when I first moved to LA, no one really knows, like, the backstory of, like, how I struggled for, like, 3 months to first find a job. So I was living on the floor of my cousin's room in my aunt's place.
Yeah, nobody's gonna fucking take a picture of that.
Exactly.
Yeah, nobody. I never took a picture of, like, the place I was living, which was basically in the hood, you know? Like, I was living in South Central, essentially, you know? And people don't see that. Like, when I was at my lowest point, I think that's when I was the most active on social media, because I felt like I needed to prove to myself, prove to other people that I was good, like, I was enjoying myself.
Yeah, you're just putting on a public image, basically.
Yeah, so it's really important to keep in mind, like, when you're comparing your lives to others, they're not necessarily better than yours. It's just, you need to focus on yourself and, like, really check your insecurities, why that is, and just realize everybody's journey is completely different.
Yeah. Because you're only comparing yourselves to what they let you see.
Yeah.
Because it's like, there's so much more stuff that, like, you know, they could probably be having, like, the worst time of their life, and then you wouldn't even know. And the whole time you're thinking, you're looking up to them, and you're like, they're what I want to be.
Yeah. At the end of the day, the grass is always greener on the other side, right?
Exactly.
And you just have to enjoy the grass you're on, yellow or not. Decaying or not, dying, dry, whatever.
There's always going to be someone better than you with a nicer car, with more money. Like, you just have to learn to, like, be happy with yourself, because if you can't do that, then there's no fucking point.
Exactly.
Yeah. you're always going to be miserable if you're always comparing to other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just be happy with your life, where you are, and work on yourself without comparing yourself to others. Like, you can admire people's success and like,
and let it drive you.
Let that drive you, but don't let that be a way to like
bring you down and like deter you, because you're like making yourself feel bad that you're not at that point yet.
And money is not money, success, that's not the root of happiness. It really isn't.
For real.
Like, you could be the richest fucking person and still be depressed as shit, because at the end of the day, once you reach that goal where you're finally like, I'm a millionaire now, but you're still like feeling that void, then what? You know? You didn't solve the root of the problem.
Money makes life easier, but it doesn't make you, it does not make you happy.
As much as we think that it does.
I'm one of those people that thinks money makes people very, because if I got everything paid off right now, I'd be very happy.
That's what people are saying. They'll rather cry in a mansion.
I'd rather cry. I mean, that is kind of true. Like, I do think that way. But at the same time, like, wouldn't you rather have both? Like,
I would have
both. Not cry in a mansion, but like be wealthy and happy. Just like, you've gotten to a place that you want to be in life by being yourself and completely content with your life. Rather than like you fucking like isolated yourself, hustled so fucking hard and did a lot of shady shit to get where you are. And now you're just like, well, fuck, now I have weird friends that I don't trust. I still am not happy. I pushed these partners with me because they want me for my money. And you fucking know that, but they're just hot as shit. Somebody at somebody. We're just pulling all the shade here, but
oh my god,
you know, check yourself, make a list of like these people that you wish that you were, and just like really question like how well do you think you know their life and why you want to be there.
Basically, if you're very codependent in your relationship, that can also drive jealousy, because you think like the second that they're not with you, then your entire life is going to fall apart. So then you hold on to them even harder. So that's another thing. Make sure you guys have a healthy it's not super, super dependent on each other relationship.
That was my issue with my ex-boyfriend. I was very dependent on him because I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to have a love like this ever in my life again. And after we broke up, I was just like, dude, men ain't shit. So I should have been more independent. And that's what I'm trying to aim for more in my current relationship, is being more on my own and being not so dependent on my partner, but rather try to do more for myself too at the same time.
You focus less on everything on they're doing, and then you're more focused on you and yourself and your own hobbies, and you're not like zeroing in on every single thing they do.
But honestly, sometimes I do catch myself going back to my old way sometimes whenever I slightly start feeling my insecurities come back again. And I'm just like, I just want to feel like this is our relationship, and you know, I want to feel like we're both in this together. Then I catch myself and I'm like, okay, stop being a little bit crazy. Just he's doing his own thing, I have to do my own thing. That's how a relationship can find its balance. That's, you know, good. There's, you need a balance of independence and then some slight dependence, because you know, you want to also like trust your partner that they're going to follow through with some things, and so that's just expected in a relationship,
but don't full out sit on them.
Don't suffocate your partner.
And the thing about relationships is that they should be there to like not to fill a void. They should always be there to complement your life. Like, if they were to leave, you will not be like completely broken or whatever,
or worse off.
Like worse off. Like, you're still at a good point in your life. They're not a crutch in your life.
That's,
you know,
a huge thing.
That's gonna be, I think it's important for us to kind of expand on what is codependency also. I think that might be hard, a hard concept for people to understand, is like when you're a codependent person, there's some, I guess, some key symptoms, like, I don't know what you would call that. It's not really a disease or anything, but being extremely self-critical, self-deprecating, you know, feeling responsible for other people's like feelings, like being a people pleaser and constantly feeling like you're responsible for their emotions and how they feel in a relationship, and sacrificing your own mental health or your finances or your physical happiness. Health to help somebody else. Having trouble setting boundaries. So, you know, there's a lot of times, I think I've experienced this as well, having a hard time really telling somebody like, I don't feel comfortable, because I don't want them to feel like bad about something, you know. But
yeah, that's a huge thing.
But at the end of the day, when you let that shit bottle up and then fester. Later, it's worse for the relationship, because you're gonna blow up about it, and they're gonna be like, well, why didn't you say something at that time? And you know,
I was trying to be a chill girl.
Yeah, I was trying to be cool. I was trying to be a cool person.
I'm trying to be the cool girlfriend.
And that kind of goes on to being like a perfectionist or trying to come off as like being like so, such a perfect person. I think like when I first started dating, like most of my relationship, I was trying to come off as like, I'm so fucking perfect. Like I keep my shit clean. I don't fucking, like, I do this and that. I'm like so, yeah. Like so good. Like, yeah, you know, like, you want
farts? I don't do that.
Fart. Gross. So disgusting. I don't
shit.
Just trying to make yourself come off as such a like perfect person when that's not achievable. Like,
yeah.
It's just for anyone. You know, and also along with that, perfectionist tends to like overschedule, overwork the shit out of themselves because they want to seem like they have it all together, but you're gonna burn yourself out, and that's not good for anyone. And then on top of that, like when you are perfectionist, if somebody else like fucks up or something, you are like so controlling and like just being like it, every little thing freaks you out.
Yeah, because you're so much in your mind, you're like, I'm perfect, I try so hard, like why are they messing up? Like if I'm holding myself to this standard, why can't they?
Exactly.
And that's very unhealthy, guys.
So unhealthy. And
everybody's
like
everybody's different.
And I think also at the same time, craving predictability, structure, and certainty, and just always being like, if a guy answers with like, I don't know, for a future, like you're like, where do you think we'll be in 6 months, and they answer I don't know, and you're just like, what do you mean I don't know, what do you mean we're not gonna get married? You know, like we, as I think for women especially, have an issue with like being perfectionist and also having a lot of this codependency issues is like when a guy isn't certain, and they're uncertain about a lot everything, of things, guys, like everything. Guys don't think 5 years in advance like we do, you know? Like, we as girls kind of grow up being like, we've already planned our wedding by the time we're fucking 10, because we're always shown these, like, videos of like women being so happy being in relationships and like this and that, being perfect. Like your life is built around being in a relationship, essentially.
Oh yeah, it's like, right? When you're married and you have kids, your life successful. Is done, like,
I mean, especially done. Asian women, because we're like all our like freaking like worth, our value is how marriable we are. Or, you know, marriable, is that weddable? And I think that really like became apparent to me when my mom, like, I didn't want to do my underbite surgery because I was like, it's so much money, like what's the point? Uh-huh. Like I've had this face for 18 fucking years, it's fine. But then she was like, well, I have to do this, otherwise you're not gonna get married. And I know that this sounds super harsh, but I think in a way it's just highlights kind of how Asian families see their daughters.
Yeah.
You know, as like someone, your worth is dependent on if you can get a family. And that's really sad.
Oh yeah.
But
R.I.P. Jack, who doesn't want kids.
I think that also affects how codependent Asian
because sometimes I see that one of my aunts like doesn't have kids and is like with the one that just travels around and like has a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then my parents back then would always be like, oh, like look at her, she doesn't want kids, like blah blah blah. And I'm like,
it's so shameful.
So what?
You know?
like she's having the life.
Yeah, like she's the cool aunt. She's like living
that's
it
gonna be
the
me.
The cool aunt in the fur coat showing up to the dinners or the barbecues. Yeah,
hand out the $100 bills. Can't
Dude,
wait to
I
have that Jack.
I would love that aunt.
My kids gonna love you, Jack. Literally, like, I'll hand it to them, like, guys, don't touch me. Auntie don't touch Jack me. Don't touch here. The chinchilla.
This is a Louis, okay? This is YSL. Please don't, your grubby little hands. No. I'll give you your
dollars.
No
grease,
okay?
Please. No greasy fingers. And before she leaves, she's like, all right, guys, I'm gonna be late on my trip to Cancun. Paris, so, you know.
Yeah, so be honest with yourself, be honest with your partner about your insecurities. As we always say, what's the most important thing?
Communication. Goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but what is our favorite time?
It's question time.
Damn, Abby really jumped ahead.
I know, I whispered it.
Again, a 1, 2, 3. Question time. Question.
Sorry, guys. I just love this part of the show.
I do. I really like interacting with our peoples.
All right. So first question. Hey, guys. I love your show. Can you talk about Kegels? Like what kinds to do /when/how often/how? I'm
doing them right now.
Kegels are very important, I believe, you know, for that pussy strength.
Yeah. You're going to have that whap.
You want to have that gorilla grip.
That gorilla grip, that Punani Dasani.
I never heard that one.
It's in that's WAP. WAP.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm sorry. They say so many things that I honestly
swipe your pussy on Trita's nose like a credit card.
Yeah. I don't want you to touch that little dangly thing that's in the back of my throat.
Honestly, I really like the part when they say that it was writing dick and spell my name.
Yeah. So
my full name.
The funny thing about Kegels is, like, I swear I've been doing Kegels since I was a kid. Because my mom thought it was so important for me to drink milk every single day, and a bitch is lactose intolerant as fuck. So in school, I always had to hold in my farts and my shits, and I got so good at it that, like, I've never accidentally let out a fart in class. Except one time I fell asleep and I woke myself up.
Muscles.
No, but like it's all the same. Like when you're tensing your asshole, you're also doing
muscle.
Yeah, your sphincters and your Kegels at the same time. Just everything is just so tense. Especially when you had to ask a teacher to fucking go to the bathroom. Like,
oh yeah.
If you think about how wild that is to get permission to relieve yourself. That's some shit.
And okay, then they honestly pull some shit like, may I?
This person asked what kinds to do. I don't know if there's more than one type of Kegel exercise.
I guess it's like how? Like using, you can actually use
like exercise Kegel balls. Exercise.
Like the, like they weights, have things right? that like, weights. I think that'll be one thing that we test with each other. We'll just buy Kegel weights.
So, like, you know how you guys know that I lift, right? Maybe it's time to start weightlifting with my pussy, too.
Just shove a fucking dumbbell up there.
I'll do it like a 20 pound. All right, guys, let's go up to 20 today, 25 next week.
I'm scared for your pussy.
Dude, my pussy's about to grip the fuck out of my boyfriend's dick, bro. Like, it's going to be like,
whoop. I'm going to, like, swallow that shit up. I can't even
thrust it anymore because it's, like, gripping.
Yeah,
so
you
hard.
Have to think about, like, you can actually tighten your pussy to, like, they can feel it when you do that. Can. And it's actually like feels really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you, like, tighten that, it actually is better for you, for girls, to be able to orgasm. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. To do Kegel exercises, if you are having a hard time, like, orgasming or, like, you know, getting yourself to that point, an advice that a lot of, like, sex therapists and stuff have said is just to do Kegel exercises. You can actually come without masturbating just by doing Kegels. Like, that's something that can happen.
Yeah, I think, like, when I was a little kid, I didn't even realize that was what I was doing. I was, like, sitting in a chair.
And you
were
just Kegel exercising.
And I was, like, flexing it. And I didn't even realize that was what I was doing. And I'm probably, everyone's like, why is that kid sitting so weird?
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, I do it, like, even if I'm at work and just randomly just, like, flexing it. Like,
you should time yourself for how long you can hold it.
The longest time I held it was, I think, 3.5 minutes.
Oh, God, damn.
It's actually, like, people think it's, like, you know, just it's actually really hard.
It is hard.
Hold it for a long,
I was sweating
time.
At one point.
Like, you know, like it like when you hold it for a while, it starts like twitching. Yeah. Like, because it's like I can't hold. It's at the end of the day, guys. It's a muscle. Like, how long can you hold a glass of water, right? Mm-hmm. Still. So let us know your experience with Kegels.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's important to do it every day at least for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really wake up in the morning while you're brushing your teeth. Just fucking flex your pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah, go to sleep at night right before, just flex your pussy.
Yeah, and if you're like confused on how to like flex it, just hold up a mirror up to like your pussy, like take a look at it and try to like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. You kind of just like,
how do you explain how to flex a muscle?
Yeah, it's like you just flex it. Like, I'm doing it right now.
The mind to pussy connection.
Yeah.
Just.
And you just focus on it and you just like flex it. And I don't know how to explain it.
Just explain Jack flexing by saying flex.
Just flex it.
So just hold up a fucking mirror and see what.
Just imagine your vagina is a door and you're closing it.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, basically. Yeah. And then just look at that in the mirror and kind of just mimic that and then do it without the mirror. And then eventually that's how you do it.
Yep. Yep. Good luck.
Let us know.
Yeah, I've been doing it since I even knew what Kegels were. So, just for fun.
Mm-hmm. Next question.
All right. So, they said, so I've started having sex with a new partner. We didn't really finish together as I struggled to stay hard near the end. We ended up using our toys on each other to finish. What can we do for next time if I struggle to stay hard again? I plan to take a bit more slowly next time so I can build it up. Have you guys experienced a partner who struggled to stay hard?
I've had experience with that only because, like, a guy, like, if they try to hold back their coming, like just to last longer, mm-hmm. too many yeah. times, like, you know, like mm-hmm. stopping themselves mm-hmm. to like at that point, like they'll edging. Actually go soft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that happens. Their dick is like, well, you're gonna fucking choke me, I'm gonna fucking stop.
I'm gonna stop. I've definitely felt that before sometimes too. I think my boyfriend does that where he like tries not to come really fast and mm-hmm. he keeps like edging it, and at one point it finally gets to the point where I'm like, can you come already?
Yeah, if you edge too much yeah. and then they can't anymore mm-hmm.
and then I would it's a, but again then again this is when we did some drugs, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah, even then, like when it got kind of soft, I think it would just like I positioned myself so I ended up starting to suck his dick, like,
yeah
maybe you
yeah.
switch it up a little bit, it might help you get a little bit more hard, who yeah. knows, it might be the position.
Sucking dick is always yeah. like what I do, like if they like are getting softer, mm-hmm. like sucking mm-hmm. dick, it's like you get to kind of like instead of them feeling the same like mm-hmm. pussy muscle, you get yeah. to like put in the variation of like
yeah
sucking dick mm-hmm. and because guys actually generally like really love blowjobs,
yeah
it's like it's weird, like, you know, you got your hands in there, you got your mouth in there, you got your tongue working and it's doing its thing, so.
And it's like they can feel it's different than a pussy, like a mouth mm-hmm. definitely feels different than a pussy and like an asshole and all mm-hmm. that, so it's like maybe if you switch it up it might redirect the blood flow.
Yeah, I think go with a blowjob. If you haven't already tried that, go with yeah. that mm-hmm. and that should fix the problem. If not, I mean, I've always gotten to a point like I don't shame them for it because yeah. it's like natural. It's not yeah. like they meant to. I think when yeah. I was younger, I used to be like, oh my God, do you not think I'm sexy?
Am I ugly? Hot enough?
You don't like, am I fat and ugly?
But sometimes guys just get soft just yeah. because.
Sometimes it's just.
Especially if they're yeah. fucked up.
If they're tired or if they're like mm-hmm. super stressed out, it's also a little bit harder for them to stay hard. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
yeah, girls, don't think it's all you. All
right. So next question. Megan, take it away.
Hey girls, loving the podcast episodes and all the advice you all share is truly helping me cope with my current relationship during quarantine. I do have a question that's been bothering me. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 6 months now, and the more time I spend with him, the more I start to notice how close he is with his female friends, in quotes. I've noticed that he texts them almost every day, especially when I'm with him. He does give me a lot of love and attention, but I'm still anxious about his relationships with these other women. I asked him about this girl who would text him a lot, and he told me that he did used to like her, but is no longer interested, and he knows that she's not interested in him as well. He also got drunk last year, before we dated, and had sex with another female friend, but he said he doesn't even remember. They are both just good friends, and they still hang out. He also calls another one of his female friends babe, in quotes, as a joke in text. She calls him babe back too. She knows we're a couple and still does that in text. I got really upset. I never met any of these women because they live pretty far and he met them all in college. I don't know what to do. He says they're just quote-unquote friends, but they all look like me. He used to like them, use them as emotional support, etc. I just feel very inadequate as a girlfriend. I don't want to come off as the controlling girlfriend as well that tells him he can't hang out or text his female friends. I know he loves me and will never hurt slash cheat on me, but I still feel uncomfortable with him giving these women attention. Please help me understand the situation. Any advice on what to do would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, girls, so much.
Wow, this really ties into today's episode.
So wow. On the thing that really bothered me is calling another girl babe.
Yeah. No, fuck that shit. No, I would be fucking pissed.
That's so, a little...
Again, this kind of comes off of what we were talking about. You don't need to be the cool girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't come off as controlling for you to be like, hey, that makes me uncomfortable. And if you continue doing that, like, that's not pertinent that's not, in the relationship. I don't call my boyfriend, I mean, my guy friend's babe.
Fuck no.
Gay.
Yeah.
Gay as fuck.
Yeah.
I think that is definitely like, that's not, I think that if he was aware of how you're feeling about that, maybe he might be ignorant to the fact that that's just not something you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you need to put it in perspective of like, hey, that's just like, yeah. I feel like that's a very,
it's like overstepping the boundaries.
Yeah, especially if the girl knows that he's in a relationship and is still doing that, like she should be like, if I'm friends with my guy friends and we like like, let's say are really close, but I am always like texting them at like middle of the night and like they're not gay or something, and I'm like, hey, love you babe, like, hope you're like,
god, no, never.
I would never do that. But also, especially if I knew they were in a relationship and would make the other girl uncomfortable, I think like women really need to be looking out for each other in this case.
Exactly, because like me and my guy friends, when my guy friends are being shady and they have girlfriends, like I check them, you know. So like, as a girlfriend to a guy friend, like I feel like I would tell them the stuff they're doing is wrong. I wouldn't ever tell my guy friend and call them babe if they have a girlfriend and stuff. Like, that's so disrespectful.
Yeah, it is. It's disrespectful, and there needs to be respect in a relationship. It's not about being controlling or like trying to tell him who he does or doesn't text. If it's bothering you now, it's going to continue bothering you, him or you. And at the end of the day, like, you don't want to be uncomfortable in a relationship.
I think she should talk. You should talk to him about this. And like, don't try to attack him, because honestly, men are fucking stupid and they don't know sometimes when they're fucking up and when things are actually very wrong with what they're doing. But I think you should express your concern for that, because first of all, I draw the line at when he calls another girl babe.
No, that would piss.
And I understand why she could feel uncomfortable, because he has had sex with his female friends in the past. So, I mean, there's history there. So I think that's something else you should bring up. And maybe he could give you some assurance, like more assurance that, you know, like, he's not interested in him anymore.
And but also, sure, he's not brushing it off. Like, it's over. Like, that's, it's not, the he actually needs to get deep down to the root of the issue and like really reassure you into like what is going on.
And maybe like you could try to get to know his girlfriend so that maybe you could be a little bit more comfortable, because I that's why I introduce my boyfriend to all my guy friends, so that he knows them and that he's not like feeling weird and insecure,
because like no threatened
when feeling. When you don't know somebody and they're texting your boyfriend all the time, you start making up their character, being like, oh, she's like out to fucking fuck him. Like, you know, but once you maybe like, if you get to know them and they don't come off at this person, they'll make you feel way better. But if you do get to know them and you do realize they're some shady bitch, they gotta go. Like, that at that point, it's like, do you want this like shady bitch as your friend, or do you want to continue this relationship? Because I've been in a relationship where like the best girlfriend and like the shoulder to cry on and the support or whatever became the bitch riding his dick and cheated on me with. So just be careful. Don't be like the insecure, like always like looking out at what he's doing and stuff. I think it is also disrespectful that he especially texts them all the time.
Like, what are they talking about though? Like, I don't, even my guy friends, I don't talk to them 24/7.
I'm like, and especially if you're together, that's your quality time. You need to like set that boundary and tell him, like,
in front of you.
If you're together, like, that's your time. Like, you guys shouldn't be constantly on the phone texting other people. Ever so often, sure, if you guys are both like a little bored, like have some free time, like talk to other people, but just remember, like, when you're spending time together, that's supposed to be quality time.
But also, I agree with the fact, I mean, I do want to say that it is okay for your partner to have friends of the opposite sex, because I think that's fine. But also, you need to have some boundaries. And if you have these really good friends, then they should also know the boundaries too. Especially when they know that you're in a relationship.
And if they are real friends who are healthy relationship friends, like, they should be able to understand, like, I would always be willing to step back from someone who is telling me reasonable, like, oh, like, my girlfriend's a little uncomfortable because we're so close, and I'd be like, I get that, but also, like, have I met her? Like, that's one thing. Like, I need to meet, like, if they're really good friends of mine, I should know their girlfriends. Like, that's so important to me, right? Because, like, and, like, I just met one of my best friends, like, fiance. Like, we live so far. Like, he lives in New York. And, like, after meeting her, I was like, this girl is so cool. You know, like, if she ever was to feel uncomfortable about, like, us, like, me chatting him up. Sometimes I do, like, message him on Facebook in the middle of the night because I'm always up. But, like, if I was ever to know that she felt uncomfortable, I'd be like, hey, girl, like, I do not feel any so way towards him whatsoever. We've been best friends since like middle school, college, whatever. Like, I would make it my job to kind of settle the sand for my friend, you know?
Also, another thing is, like, it says that you've been dating for 6 months now. I feel like you've been holding this in for a while, and I feel like you really need to tell him, because I feel like he's been this way the entire time, and the entire time you were planning like, oh, I'm gonna be chill because we're not officially together.
He thinks you're okay with it.
But then now you're kind of setting yourself up for failure, because it's like he thinks everything he's done is fine because he's done it in front of you.
Trust me, do not do that, because I have done that many times. So I know how it will end, and you're just going to end up blowing up because you're so tired of everything he's doing. Then he's not going to know exactly what's wrong because it wasn't brought up before. Like, you have to be kind of strict about this type of situation, because it's kind of like, you need to understand it or else I will never be happy.
And he sounds like a good boyfriend, because she does mention he does give me a lot of love and attention, and I know he loves me and will never hurt or cheat on me. So like, you know, he's from what it seems like he's a loving person who's attentive to your needs, but he's just unaware of how you feel in the situation. So you just need to communicate fully. It's not being controlling. Don't come off as like, why are you texting all these bitches?
Okay, but also this guy's kind of stupid for calling another girl babe.
But that also blows off to another. They just have the audacity. Okay, but but also, you know, once you put that out there for him to, like, you put it out for him to at least be aware of, how he takes that information is how the relationship goes.
If he doesn't change, then fucking leave his ass.
If he gets defensive or something, like, why are you freaking out about that? If then he, like, you sue his real character at that point, right?
If you, like, calmly tell him that this is what's bothering you, and he accuses you of being, like, a jealous, crazy bitch, then he's kind of just gaslighting.
Don't, you know, that comes out of the codependency thing. Don't ever be afraid to lose someone because of you being honest with yourself.
Don't lower your standards because you're scared that it's not going to be something that you want.
Always be honest with yourself and with your partner, because it never works out if you are dishonest.
Yes, exactly.
But that's our last question.
I like that one a lot. On that note, guys, follow us on our Instagram at SMAD Show. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yep.
And
leave us some reviews. Pass it on to your friends. Right. Tell your siblings, your cousins. Don't tell your mom or your dad.
Yeah. No parents. Hence our title.
Unless you want to just tell them you're sorry for some shit. But we really enjoy you guys always listening in and keeping up with us.
And join our Discord, please.
Yes.
Ask your questions there. We are very receptive.
Yes, we are.
Except for like me, because it lags my computer. Like, my computer cannot handle Discord.
But anyways, guys, as always, as what we say at the end of every episode.
Sorry, Mom and Dad.